morning, we are going to close out our series, hashtag all the feels, and talking about, and we're going to do something that is a little unique, and so we're going to invite some of your small group leaders up here to do a Q&A discussion panel. And so if that is you, you can go ahead and come on up. And so what we're going to do is we're going to throw a number up here on the slides that you can text in questions. Okay, so as you're going, don't be playing games on your phone or don't check out, but you can get on your phone. And if you have questions as it pertains to just dating or feelings or relationships or any of those kinds of things that you want to ask some of these leaders, that is your place to do it. And so we're going to spend the next 25 minutes going through some of those questions. Okay, and so you're going to get to hear from this panel of awesome leaders, and then we will dive in. So let me pray for us, and then we'll jump in. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, thanks for the opportunity that we have to just hear from your word, Lord, spoken through just leaders who are faithful to your word. And so, God, I pray that this time and the question and the discussion that we're about to have would just be really helpful, Lord, that it would be useful to us as we hear how we can navigate our feelings and emotions and relationships in a way that is going to honor you and lead to fullness of life for us. And so, Lord, thank you for this time. I pray that you would use this time to speak to our hearts. God, we love you and pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So you can go and text in some of those questions. And then why don't we start by just introducing yourself? What small group do you lead? What grade? All those types of things. So we can start here.
Hey, my name is Ryan. We've met once or twice. I lead those sixth grade TCA boys. If any of them are here, yes, we've got a couple. Yes, with Peter. Let's go.
My name is Abby. I also have TCA. Woo! But we have eighth grade, and so it's been a lot of fun.
I'm Ross, still. I lead also TCA. Boys, where you at? Shout out. Come on. High energy group over there, yeah. But yeah, they're awesome.
And I'm Jenny, and I lead 8th grade Richardson girls.
Amazing. Okay. Well, we're going to jump right in and make the most of this time. And so we're going to start with the question of, is dating a sin? Okay. Maybe you've heard, is dating biblical, or is it just marriage and just friends, or what does that look like? And so is dating a sin? One of you guys want to jump in on that?
For me, like the first verse that came to my mind is 1 Corinthians 6:12. I kind of just wrote some things down so I remember. But that verse says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. So the idea that dating itself, is it a sin? I'm going to say no. But the way that you're dating and the reason why you're dating could be. It depends on what your heart is, what your mindset is behind it, the person that you are dating, what you're doing in dating. So dating in its own, I would say no. But there's a lot of different variations you could go into, maybe again, why you're dating or your heart behind it.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much said kind of the same thing. Dating within itself is not a sin, but there are ways to date well and there are ways to date poorly. So not to reiterate everything Ross said, but on the same page.
It's great. Yeah, so less about the dating itself, but more how you date and why you date, all those types of things, getting to the heart and the motive behind it. It's great. A question that we've already received a couple times is, when should you start dating? When is a good time to start dating? Is it okay to date in middle school? What would you say?
So when you should start dating is when you're ready to pursue marriage. So ask yourself the question, are you ready to get married? And if the answer is no, then what's the purpose of dating? Dating is to pursue a man or a woman for the purpose of marriage. And so that just goes back to Genesis 2:24. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So are you ready for that? Then start dating.
Just to go off of that, I understand that when you are in middle school and high school, you're like, okay, but that boy is so cute and we should just date. And even just speaking from experience, I know that this isn't something that I am alone in, and that anybody who I dated in middle school or high school, if you were to ask me what the chances of me marrying them were, I would tell you zero. And for everyone, like some cases, it works out where you meet later in high school and y'all date and get married. But often cases, that is not what happens. And so just like from experience and a lot of hurt, I would say wait until you're ready for marriage.
Right. And if you heard my letter last week, that is a great testament as to why to wait. I had no idea what I was doing. So great. And so once you hit that point where you're like, man, I think that this is a healthy time, for me to start dating eventually, whether it's down the road or whatever, how do I know who's the right person to date? Who should I be looking for to date? And what qualities do you think that they should have?
So, man, it could be a lot of things. The number one thing is, do they have a relationship with the Lord? That can sound cliche, cheesy, whatever it may be. But I mean, scripture talks in 2 Corinthians 4 about how it shouldn't be yoked with non-believers is what it says. And it says, does righteousness go with, wickedness? Does light go with darkness? And I mean, and truth be told, that is first and foremost, do they have a solid relationship with the Lord? And that's where that goes. Secondly, I mean, there's different things when it comes to personality and stuff like that. But things can all kind of flow from the relationship with the Lord. So that's the first answer I would say.
Right.
I mean, yeah, just kind of echoing another verse that I thought of was Matthew, I think it's 22, where they asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And he says two things, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're have someone who is doing those things, that's the kind of person you want to pursue. That they have, again, whether it's a guy or a girl, those are the things you want to pursue, a person who's doing those things, because that is what Jesus himself said is the two greatest commandments.
Great. Love it. And so a couple questions that people are asking is like, okay, so if I don't date in middle school, like why, what is really truly the point of waiting to date? Is it wrong? Like if I'm dating currently, what do I do? Right? Like if I'm in a relationship right now, and I'm hearing, okay, so I should wait until I date, but this is where I'm at. What should I do?
I mean, for me, when I don't know, I hear the word dating, especially when it comes to middle schoolers, and my first question is, what does that even mean? Like, for it's a question to ask yourself, is what does that mean when you're saying you're dating somebody? Does that mean that you just really like somebody and they like you back? Does that mean that you're talking to each other every day in the hallway? Does that mean that you're texting and FaceTiming each other? Does that mean, what does that mean for you? And then thinking, okay, is what I'm doing with this person, is this glorifying to God? Is this relationship that I have with this person, is this going to lead me to a path of righteousness or lead me somewhere else? And from just experience and just from, you know, what God's word tells us, more times than not, I feel like in the shoes that you're in currently, it's not going to lead to something that's going to bring good for you. Again, I don't know your specific situation, but I'm just saying in the, you know, time frame in your life that you are right now and the temptations that come with dating, I would be very cautious of, you know, saying, oh, this is, well, I know me and I know this person and we're great together and I really like him, I really like her, and I want to just pursue it because I want to. I would just be very cautious of that.
Yeah, I mean, if you find yourself in a dating relationship and you feel like you shouldn't be in one, I would encourage you to step out of it, you know, and just be friends with that person. It's okay just to have a guy as a friend and just, like, walk along that in a group of friends as friendship if you feel like you're not ready to make that next step in dating and pursuing someone.
Yeah. And I would just tell you guys, I think that was something that because if I look back on just my own personal life, like I did not choose to wait to start dating, and I wish I would have for a number of reasons. But one of the reasons that I say that is because whenever you date or whenever you say that you're going out with somebody, what you're doing is that you're saying, hey, I'm going to show preference to this person. Whenever biblically, like we're called not to show partiality, to others. And so whenever we're dating without that moving toward the intended goal of marriage, we're really, all we're doing is saying, hey, out of everybody else, I'm identifying one person I'm going to show preference to. Rather than what I wish I would have done was not show preference, but just to be a great friend and to serve people and to just be somebody that looks after all people and without showing partiality to maybe one individual. And it's also important to recognize, like, why do you feel, I think part of us, if we're being honest, like to be singled out makes you feel good. Right? Like that if you've been identified, that makes you feel good. And it's tricky whenever you start to place your identity in whether or not you're being chosen or valued. And it's dangerous because your value truly comes from the fact that you've been chosen by God, not by a boy, not by a girl. And so, adding color.
Yeah, and I would add something just as clarification. I mean, I had a 2-week dating relationship in eighth grade. It was 2 weeks.
Me too.
We made it. It was great for 2 weeks. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
And you see, guys, that's funny because that's the reality of, quote-unquote, dating in middle school. And I think often something that we have to ask ourselves that maybe we're not quick to ask is, why am I dating someone in middle school? Because if I look back on myself, man, I was dating because dating was cool. Dating was what made me fit in more. If this girl was known as my girlfriend, then I was cooler, or vice versa. You know, if that guy is known as my boyfriend, then I'm cooler kind of mindset. And so that is a question you have to ask and challenge yourself to wonder, am I dating someone just because I want to fit in more? And if that's what you're doing, then opt out. And then another clarification real quick is, we keep kind of saying this concept of, is my relationship glorifying to God? And so if you're confused by that statement, or if you are dating someone and you're trying to ask yourself, hey, I'm dating someone right now, is it glorifying to God? And you don't know how to answer that question, that is an answer to your question. You should step out of that if you can. Be good friends with them. And man, prefer, show priority to your relationship with the Lord, because that is the number one most important thing we can do.
It's great. And so kind of riding on that wave, if you are like sitting here and you're like, man, I feel so strong, and that's largely what this series has been about, is how do you navigate those feelings? But if you are like, man, I have a huge crush on that person, am I supposed to just get rid of those feelings, ignore it entirely? Like, what am I supposed to do if I'm like, man, I like this person, but maybe I'm not ready to date, maybe I shouldn't date right now. What do I do with that?
I mean, I think it's okay to like somebody. So we're not going to sit here and tell you that as an 8th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade person, you're not allowed to have feelings of like towards someone or think they're cute or have a crush on them. And so don't feel like you're wrong for feeling that. I think that's something that a lot of people, I felt a lot of guilt when I was your age of like, well, I'm not supposed to date, so I'm going to feel guilty about this. It's okay. I would say just be friends with them. And in a group setting, like we said, don't show partiality, but it's okay to like somebody or to think a boy is cute or to think a girl is cute. Just be friends with them. Hang out in group settings. And then if, as you guys grow up and y'all get older and that becomes something that is, you know, an option, or your feelings are still the same once you're older, then pursue them. But I think just hang out, be friends with them in a group setting.
And I think you said it there, but not like, bring it into your community. Like, that's what the part of small groups is so helpful. Like, if your small group knows, not just for the sake of gossip, but the sake of like, hey, I really like this girl or this guy, and I want to make sure you guys are keeping me accountable to not being pursuing something I shouldn't be pursuing. I shouldn't be, you know, showing partiality. So if other people know what's going on in your heart, it's going to be a lot easier to kind of walk as friends with that person and not be tempted to, you know, pursue dating if that's not what you want to do.
Yeah, I think that's helpful. And if you remember from last week, something that we talked about is feelings are real, meaning that we're not supposed to just, I love what you said, Jenny, we're not supposed to feel guilty for feelings that we have. They're real. Every one of us has been wired with emotions and feelings. That's not a bad thing. What we talked about last week was, what do we do with those? And I think that that's what they're saying, is that it depends on where you go with them that determines whether or not you are going to walk in health and joy, or whether you're going to settle for less than God's best for you. So that's really good. So if we are to delay dating, or we're supposed to just pursue friendships, is it okay for a guy and a girl to be best friends? And how would you answer that or discuss that?
Okay. So I think everyone's answer to this could be different. My answer to this is yes, but you have to be wise with what you're doing. So there are two girls that I am very close friends with, one that doesn't live in Dallas and then one that does live in Dallas. And as a friendship, it's great. We kind of have that brother-sister type of friendship. And I think the thing you have to challenge yourself with this is, man, how do we communicate to each other in our friendship? Oftentimes, and I've seen this in my own life, there are girls that I was not able to be best friends with. And that was either because I started to like them as more than a friend, or the other way around. And sometimes that happens, which is why the answer to this could be no. But it also can be yes. And the way that I think it can be yes is, you just have to communicate clearly. Something that gets often said is just, you have to fight to drive out confusion. And so oftentimes if there's a friendship that happens and you're really close with someone, and a kind of a cue of like, maybe I need to communicate something to this person, is if someone else assumes you guys are dating.
Because if your friendship is that close and people think you are dating, it might be worth having a clarifying conversation. And that is a way that you can lead out in honesty. Because I'll tell you, honesty now is going to be less painful than honesty later.
Going off of that, I think, so you mentioned the verse 1 Corinthians 6:12 earlier, which says all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. I actually had the repeat of that written down, which is 1 Corinthians 10:23 and 24. And it's just talking about, hey, everything is lawful, but not all things are helpful. And so you know yourself. And like Ryan said, if you have a best friend and you're like, man, I just have feelings for them and I am being dominated by these feelings, then step back from that. Because at that point, that's not helpful for you or potentially isn't helpful for the other. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it talks about how younger men are supposed to treat younger women. And it says, treat them like sisters in all purity. And a great way to look at that is, okay, do I have a sibling? Do I have a brother? If you're a girl, how do I treat my brother? If you're a boy, how do I treat my sister? And even holding your friendships up to that light. And if you're like, man, I am putting more care, attention, I am wanting them to see me and to think really highly about me, then I would say, okay, maybe that's not healthy, and maybe there should be a step back, and you should take that to your female community if you're a girl, your guy community if you're a guy, and just talk through, hey, what are my motivations in this friendship that I have right now?
Yeah, I think that's great. Another verse that you can tack on is Proverbs 4:23, that we're just commanded above all else to guard our hearts, for everything that we do flows from it. And so I think the tricky thing there is that typically, and I think I heard Ryan say this, is that somebody's heart is typically drifting one direction or the other. And so what I mean by that is that whether or not you maybe feel like that I have strong feelings for this person, they very well could. And so you just want to not only be diligent to guard your own heart, but also to be your brother or sister's keeper. Exactly what Abby just said, is that you want to look after them as well and what's going to be most helpful for them. Be others focused as well. And so what should I say to somebody whenever I don't want to date, but they are pressuring me to date, or somebody is trying to get me to be their boyfriend or girlfriend, but I'm like, oh man, I really don't want to. What should they say and what should they do?
Man, just be honest with them. I mean, I think that's going to be your best, honesty is going to be your best bet of just saying like, hey, I don't feel like I'm ready to date. I don't think I'm at a point in my life that dating is, you know, an appropriate thing. I'd really love to just be friends with you. And I think also encourage them that it's not like you're just rejecting them because you don't like them, but just say like, hey, I've made a decision that I'm not going to date at all in, you know, middle school or, you know, high school or whatever it is. And I just really would love to just be friends and hang out with you as a friend.
I think too, like making that decision beforehand, like don't get caught in the situation to where someone's asking you out or someone tells you they like you and then you don't know how to respond. So you just go off your feelings. Like if you have that plan ahead of time, like, hey, I've already made the decision that I am not going to be dating for this X amount of time, whatever it is, whatever is in your heart, then when you prepared for it, it will be a lot easier to respond in that way than just kind of going off your feelings.
And I think, too, comes back to bring community in. Like, let your small group know, hey, I decided this is what I feel like is best for me. Talk that through if you have questions about that. Your small group leaders, the other girls or guys in your small group would love to talk with you about that. And then that way they know as well. So if you start having a boy that you like at school or a girl that you like at school and you think that that might be coming, let them know. So then there's that accountability there of, hey, how are you pursuing that friendship? And not purposely misleading someone, you know, or accidentally misleading someone to think that you want something more than being friends.
Totally. And so if maybe somebody is already dating and that they've set boundaries in place, that they're like, hey, this is, you know, going to define and here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm not going to do. And somebody's pressuring you to challenge those boundaries. What should you do?
I mean, it's easy for me to sit up here and say, like, just break up with them. I mean, that's what the answer is, but I understand the situation is more complex than that because obviously you have feelings for this person and you like them, and that's why you're dating them in the first place. But 1 Corinthians 6:18 is where, you know, Paul talks about fleeing from all sexual immorality. And so if that's what someone's pressuring you into, I mean, it's pretty cut and dry right there to flee. Like, if someone's trying to press you into that, to flee from it. And so, like I said, I understand and I empathize in the sense of, like, you really like someone. You've been, you know, dating for maybe 3 or 4 months and they start pressuring you in this way. And you really like them and you want to justify, well, he's a really nice guy and, you know, he has all his good friends and all these other things. And we've been good friends for a long time. It might be awkward and weird. But, like, really, again, if you have that plan already set ahead of time, if you already decided what your boundaries are, if you've let other people in your life know about those boundaries, it's going to be easier then instead of being stuck in that position to where you're having to respond on the fly, more or less. So, again, I would really encourage to think about, again, what your boundaries are, have them set in place ahead of time, and if someone is pushing them, to, again, remove yourself from that relationship.
And I think it's really important to let that person know that you're dating before you just choose to date them, what your boundaries are. If you guys have different boundaries on what you think that is appropriate for a dating relationship, then that's not a person to date. Find someone that has the same values and the same moral set that you do, and that could, you know, and only date that person. Don't date someone that says, oh, I think it's good to do this, and when you have felt like that's not what the Lord's calling for you.
Yeah. So let's stay on that idea of boundaries, and maybe Ross and Jenny, you can talk a little bit about just y'all's dating and what that looked like. But what are some of those boundaries that you would say, hey, here's just a line that if I am going to date, or if I'm currently dating and I'm like, I'm not, I think that I'm okay here or whatever. Again, talk to your small group leaders, talk to your small group, receive counsel in that. But if you are dating and you're like, what boundaries should I put in place, and what would be a healthy relationship in that way?
I think that that's something we probably didn't do well, if I'm being completely honest. We weren't living in a great community when we first started dating. And that, I think, is the huge key to that, of you have to bring people in. You can't sit here and think that you're going to be okay one-on-one with a guy and things be totally fine. And so that is definitely something that is really important. Date in groups. Don't go somewhere by yourself with a guy. Things like that that are just helping, you know, bring things, keep things in the light, basically.
Yeah, I just think knowing yourself well is a good place to start. I mean, if you're on a diet and you have ice cream sitting right in front of you on the table versus 10 miles away at the nearest grocery store, it's going to be really, really easy to eat that ice cream because it's sitting right in front of you. So keep those things away from you. And that's like Jenny's talking about, bringing people into that. Those people can help you do that. And just not setting yourself up to fail.
With that being said, I think a lot of times when we say boundaries, the first place that our mind goes is, okay, what should physical boundaries be? What does that look like in a relationship? I think that emotional boundaries and spiritual boundaries are just as important. If you are dating somebody and they are your go-to person for any time something emotional happens in your life, or any time that you're like, hey, will you be praying for this, or will you? And it's okay to ask somebody to ask a boy if you're a girl, like, hey, pray for this high level thing. But those really deep, intimate things that are happening in your life are the things that you need to be going to community with. And so if you're taking it to your boyfriend or your girlfriend first, then you have completely just neglected what the purpose of your community is. And so when those emotional boundaries and those spiritual boundaries start racing ahead, then it's natural for you to be like, okay, well, my physical boundaries should be at the same place. And then you've just crossed a lot of lines that are going to leave you really hurt when the relationship ends. And so just make sure that you're questioning, hey, what's beneficial in all areas before you ever start dating versus getting into a relationship and just trying to figure it out as you go.
Totally. I think it's helpful on that topic of boundaries, like something that I had to wrestle with in dating is that, and Abby already said this verse, 1 Timothy 5:2 commands younger brothers to, or younger men to treat other women as their sisters with absolute purity. So if you want to know a great question to ask as you're thinking about boundaries and you're having that conversation with your small group and with your leaders, ask yourself, is this something that I would do with my brother or sister? That's a great question to ask, because if you cross that, I think that you're walking outside of the context of which God has designed for that relationship to be. Because God acknowledges and has designed two relationships, which is brother and sister and familial relationships between the opposite sex, and then marriage. There is not this like middle ground of dating that we often try to blur that line, that we want to pursue what God has intended for marriage inside of the context of what is supposed to be a brother and sister relationship. And so God commands us to walk in absolute purity, to treat others as brothers and sisters. Yeah, just add on that. But next question. Sometimes I feel like I need to act a certain way or be somebody else to get a guy or a girl's attention. Is that wrong and is that bad?
I think my question would be, what is the purpose in the motivation behind that? Is it coming from a place of insecurity? Because most likely it is. And so if you're not secure in yourself and who you are and who God created you to be, then that's going to be really hard for you to want to just be who you are and who God made you to be. And you're going to tend to want to be something else to get someone else's attention. If your motivation's coming from that, then you're not at a place that you're ready to pursue somebody. I think that as women, especially for us, that's just a natural tendency for us to want to go from a place of insecurity. And so figure out who you are as a woman of God and who God created you to be. It shouldn't be any guy that's worth pursuing that's going to want you to change who you are. And so, you know, I think a verse that came to my mind was Luke 12:7 says, "Why even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you have more value than many sparrows." And so just like keep that in mind that you are worthy and there's nothing about you that needs to change to, you know, for someone to like you. If they want that, then that's not the right person for you.
I also think when that question is asked of Galatians 1:10, just says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." And that's just something that I have to lean on a lot of remembering, hey, if my sole motivation is that I'm trying to please those around me and I'm trying to get the approval of those around me, then I lose all focus that I have on trying to please the Lord who saved us and given us mercy. And so it's just great to remember, okay, where are my motivations for the attention and the approval that I'm looking for?
So, like, I don't know, I think, you know, I agree with both those things. In a practical sense, it's like, I think about myself when I was in eighth grade and I was around, like, you know, my friends and a group of friends, maybe a girl I liked was in that circle we're talking the hallway. And I was definitely the person who, like, I wanted to stand out. I wanted to act differently. I wanted to be funnier. I wanted to be all these things. And it kind of went back to what Jenny said. It was just really an insecurity that I wasn't enough who I was. So I had to act a different way. And so that's just kind of like a practical step for you guys, like this next week or whenever it is, if you're around that person that you like, and if you start realizing that you're doing things differently that you don't normally do, or you start saying things or acting a certain way that you don't normally act, that's a good time to reflect, okay, why am I doing these things? It's because you're wanting to, again, stand out in a way that God is not calling us to do.
If I'm dating somebody who doesn't believe in God or doesn't maybe follow the same faith that I follow, is it wrong for me to date if I'm trying to share with them the gospel? AKA missionary dating.
Yes, it is wrong. Again, your sole purpose in life. I mean, Matthew 5:16 talks about how people should look at the way we do things and glorify your Father in heaven. Or the verse from earlier from 2 Corinthians 4 talking about not being yoked with unbelievers. It's the concept of thinking that we can save that person. Oftentimes, I know you can be so infatuated, so caught up in your feelings that you think that because I like this person so much, I also can save this person. But in the end, like it isn't us who saves ourselves. It is Christ who saves us. And so remembering that true core value of the gospel helps you kind of remind yourself, like, man, it's not up to me to save this person. As a friend, you can love them well so that they can come to know Jesus. You don't have to be dating them.
Great answer. Okay, we've got to wrap it up. So I'm going to give just open floor. If you've got something you're like, man, I wish I would have said this, or I feel like I need to say this before we close it up. If you got 30 seconds, if you've got anything that you're like, man, I'm just pressing to share this.
Yeah, I mean, as a single guy, I'll share just like for single people out there, Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Guys, if you're not delighting yourself in the Lord, you shouldn't be dating someone. And I cannot emphasize that even more. It is okay to choose to be single to prioritize your relationship with the Lord.
Just going off that, in 1 Corinthians 7, there is a huge section where it's talking about how both if men and women are unmarried, that they should stay that way so that they can just devote themselves more to the Lord. Marriage is a great thing, but while you're in the season of singleness that you're in, there's just so much that you can do with this. And I just love how Paul ends it. He says, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. And so he's not saying, I don't want you to have fun and you can't date, but he's saying it's for your benefit and for your good.
Yeah, that's great.
I said at the very beginning, but just kind of reiterating, if you're going to be dating someone, especially in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, having that question as to why. I mean, I'm a 5th grade teacher, and I have 5th graders who are saying that they're dating. And I always go, what does that mean? And they can't. There is no answer to it. They don't know. And so, again, not comparing you guys obviously to 5th graders. You're older and more mature than that. But at the same time, the place that you're in your life right now, asking that question of why am I dating this person? What does that even mean? I think it's a very important and first practical step to take.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've said this before. I think a lot of it comes back to, like, checking your own heart and what your motivations are behind what you're doing. And that's just truth for life, but especially when it comes to dating and relationships, just like Ross said, like you really need to like dig deep into why you're wanting to do the things that you're wanting to do and find, you know, ways to then like pursue the Lord in that, if that's something that, an area in your life that you're falling short in.
Yeah, that's great. You guys, the whole point of this time is to be helpful to you guys, to look at God's word and understand. I love the way that Abby just said that in 1 Corinthians 7, that it's to secure an undivided devotion to the Father. Guys, you are more free than you'll ever be to serve God and to love others. And so you have an incredible platform, an incredible opportunity in front of you that doesn't have to get caught in the weeds of dating, relationships, all these things. That what comes first and foremost is your undistracted, undivided devotion to the Lord. And from that, everything else flows. And so here's the reality. A ton of you sent in questions, like, which is awesome, which means that you have questions. And I'm encouraged by that. We don't have time to get all of those here this morning. And so here's what we're going to do is that this week at small group, you're going to have the opportunity to just ask those questions. You're going to be able to sit with your small group, sit with your leaders and just ask them questions. If we didn't get to them, that's your time. That is your place to open God's word and discuss those things with one another and to help each other understand God's best and God's design for you. And then there's also the list of some of the questions that we answered today that if you're like, hey, I want to talk more about that, you're going to have the opportunity to do so. And so let me pray and then we will be free. Guys, thanks for hopping on today. Super helpful. Let's thank our Q&A panel real quick. Amazing. Well, hey, let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for the opportunity that it is to gather here in this place, to learn from you, to learn from your word, to learn just what you would have for us in this topic of feelings and emotions and relationships. God, I pray that you would help us by your spirit and by your word to guide us through these things in a way that we would experience the fullness of joy in life that you would intend for us. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this day. I pray that we would worship you with our lives this week. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.